We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494 gets you aboard. Hope versus belief for Sunday. Eagles at the Bucks at 1 o'clock. And the X Factors, other than, of course, Jalen Hurts, who needs to be very, very good for the Eagles to go down there and win this football game. Let's talk to a guy who knows a lot about this Buccaneers team. He writes about them along with the NFL draft for Pewter Report. His name is John Ledyard. He's been on the show before. We wanted to bring him back because he knows this Bucs team inside and out, and we need to figure out how good the Bucs still are. We know they're defending Super Bowl champions. John, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you making some time for us, and we're trying to get to the bottom of this Bucs team, you know, and how good they still are. It's weird because you look at their schedule and how they've played and the wins and losses down the stretch and say, oh, well, they're fine, right? They won 7 of 8 and they got in the playoffs and they're the number 2 seed. Yet it hasn't looked like it's been, you know, before. Their run defense hasn't been as good. They were down 2 weeks ago to the Jets, 24-10 before coming back. How good are the Bucs, John? You're watching them very closely. Is this team ready for another Super Bowl run, or do you see some reasons for worry?
There's definitely reasons for worry. I mean, there were last year, too, going into it. I think every team probably, if they're being honest, you know, feels something along those lines. Good news is that, well, you hope at least, it seems like they are getting healthier. Defensively, they haven't played a single snap all season long with all their starters out there, and it wasn't until last week that they played a single snap with all their starting secondary pieces out there. And, it, you know, that might feel like a weird stat, but it's actually been like more like at least 2 of their secondary starters have been missing for a lot of their games. 3 were out the last time they played the Eagles, obviously. Both teams are a lot different since that point in time. But, yeah, it's that side of the ball, yeah, there's concerns for sure. Because I think they just haven't been battle-tested. This season, they played the weakest slate of opposing offenses all year. So their numbers are fine, but they just really haven't been tested that much. Then they got to see the Bills. In the first half, they were amazing. In the second half, they were horrible. And so that didn't really give us any clarity at all. We're just kind of like still in the dark about how good this defense really is. They've kept some teams out of the end zone back-to-back games. Now all of a sudden you're giving up, you know, 2 touchdowns in the first 2 drives against the Jets. And so there's just kind of inconsistencies on defense. Offensively, they've been pretty consistent all year, that with the exception of that one Saints game where they lost like 3 of their top guys and they didn't have AB for that game. It was just a mess. But when they've had some guys in there and they haven't had, you know, crazy overall changes in the middle of a game, they've been pretty consistently awesome. Brady's been obviously the steady, consistent force that he always is. So you feel a little bit better about that side of the ball, a little more like stable on that side of the ball. But defensively, yeah, you're not really sure what to expect on this from this team. And they've definitely have the inexperience at wide receiver that could derail some of the consistent success we saw from them on offense in the regular season.
John, let's talk about the run defense. You know, I remember early in the season before the Bucs came here in early October that I was reading an article that at that time through 5 or 6 games, whatever it was, they were on pace tracking to be maybe the best run defense of all time in terms of yards allowed, because number 1, teams weren't running on them, and 2, when they did, they weren't have any success. You fast forward to now, they've dropped down to more middle of the pack, and you look the last 8 games, I mean, they're giving up a pretty good amount of rushing yards per carry, close to 5. Has this all been injuries? Are they just getting tired? It's an older defense. What do you make of this? Because obviously this is the matchup on Sunday, the number 1 rushing offense against a rush defense that suddenly doesn't look as imposing.
Yeah, they think they're number 3 in the league now after they finished the year at the end of the season, number 3. But over the last, you know, 6-7 weeks, I think they've been more like the 15th or something like that over that span of time. I mean, injuries are a big part of it, not having Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul being hurt and having to play, you know, young guys, inexperienced guys. You know, Cam Gill is playing 30-some snaps, undrafted guy who's got promise. But again, it's just he's never played that many snaps before in the NFL. And you've got, you know, Anthony Nelson, Joe Tryon-Chuenke, who's played really well as a rookie. But you've got guys, yeah, that aren't as experienced out there. And no, Lavonte David hurts a lot, too. You just don't have the same athleticism at linebacker when Kevin Minter's out there. So that's part of it. Another part of it is Devin White hasn't played that well. And, you know, honestly, he was kind of overrated last year, in my opinion. Had a great playoff, which then maybe overrated him even more in people's minds going into the regular season. He can make some splash plays. It's just been more few and far between this season. But of all the revolving door of pieces has definitely been a big part of it. The other big part of it, though, Joe, is just the fact that at the beginning of the year, I mean, no one was even trying to run against the Bucs. So when you talk about, you know, they might have this historically great offense, you know, going into, I think even coming out of that Philadelphia game in week six, yeah, that was true, but a lot of it was just like nobody was even running the ball. They weren't even bothering because the Bucs were so good in run defense, had been for the last 2 years, the number one run defense in the league, that eventually there was going to be some regression back to the mean with the Bucs because they were going to have to change some of what they did to respect the pass more, especially with all the injuries they had in the secondary. So remember I said they haven't played a single snap with all their sorry secondary pieces until week 18. That was the first time, and now two of those guys, Carlton Davis and SMB, are questionable for this game. I do think both are going to play, and I think they'll have their full starting secondary out there. But that was a big thing, right? They had all these moving pieces in the secondary. They were literally bringing in guys like Pierre Desir off the street, Dee Delaney, who'd never played. Those guys were starting games for them at cornerback in the NFL. So because of that, they had to change some of what they did defensively, lighten the box, drop their linebackers out a little bit quicker, try to play basically a little more coverage. Some of that was more dime and nickel defenses. If you remember the first Eagles game, the Eagles didn't really run the ball until that last scoring drive. And it was because the Bucs were a nickel dime defense almost the entire drive. They thought the Eagles were going to throw the ball. So the Eagles said, oh, let's just run it. So out of dime and some of those looks, a couple teams have gotten them this year late in games with some plays like that. A couple teams have gotten them with quarterback runs. You know, their stats are thrown off by the fact that Josh Allen rushed for nearly 100 yards, but hardly any of those were designed runs. A lot of those were scrambles. So some of that has thrown the numbers out of whack, too. As it comes to traditional handoffs, to ball carriers straight up, they've still been very, very good this season. Some of the trickeration stuff has gotten them at times. And the biggest thing, the last part of it, is missed tackles. Missed tackles has been a big deal. I think they're one of the bottom five teams in the NFL in missed tackles this year. It's been a little bit better the last few weeks. It's been more having backups in there the last few weeks that's been a problem. But if they can clean up the tackling, I think they'll feel a lot better about their run defense.
Yeah, well, John, you led me to my next question. You brought up the quarterback runs and Josh Allen. In comes Jalen Hurts here. And John, I think he's probably as healthy as he's been in 5 or 6 weeks. He had basically a bye last week as they sat him dealing with a high ankle since late November. But he was full of practice all week. And everyone here in Philadelphia expects Jalen Hurts to move very well on Sunday. He led all NFL quarterbacks in rushing yards. A lot of those scrambles, in fact, he had the most rushing yards out of scrambles from the blitz. Like when he gets blitzed, he will run and pick up first downs. I know the Bucs blitz a lot. John, what do you think about that matchup? Todd Bowles, an aggressive, you know, defensive coordinator, blitzing Jalen Hurts. Hurts has handled the blitz and run away from it for first downs a lot. Do you think they will blitz the young quarterback?
No, I don't think they will. I think they're going to blitz a lot less than normal. Not that they'll never blitz, but I think Bowles blitzes. I think he's blitzed 300 sometimes this season. He's blitzed 41% of defensive snaps. Both numbers, nobody's even close. No other team in the NFL is even close as much as the Bucs blitz. But I think he knows. I mean, the last game was an indication, right? I think against the Eagles the last time they sent more than four rushers just 11 times. You know, even in a game late where the Eagles were throwing every down because they were down in that one pretty early, you know, they were hardly sending extra rushers that much. I think you'll see a pretty similar game plan, 10 to 15 times maybe, which that might be a lot, but it's not a lot for Bull. For him, that's a little bit. So I think you might see something like that. Maybe closer to 10 would be my guess. He's going to take seriously the threat that Hurts is to get outside of structure. That's typically how he plays really mobile quarterbacks. He doesn't blitz them as much, and he pulls back and really tries to contain the pocket. That's what he did last time, and I think it's what he'll do again. He'll try to contain things. Now, they didn't always contain perfectly last time. The scheme was there. Players didn't always execute as well as I thought they maybe should have last time, but I think that's what they'll try to do, and they'll try less to blitz him, because when they blitz him, to be honest, they give him easy answers in the pass game too. He should know where he's going right away if he sees pressure. When you show blitz and drop out, that's when you give him a little bit more to think about, and if you have him contained, I think you can have success defensively. But I think it's a key to the game for the Bucs defensively that they don't blitz Hurts too much.
John Ledyard joining us from Pewter Report, talking Eagles Bucs Sunday at 1 o'clock. John, I'm curious your perception of the Eagles. Last time you saw them against the Bucs, they were probably at their worst. Maybe the week after that, they kind of fell to, you know, maybe their worst at 2-5. But it was a tough start to the season for Nick Sirianni, the head coach, for Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator, even for Jalen Hurts. I mean, they were not good early. And since then, they've basically the same record as the Bucs, and they've only scored 9 less points since the two teams have faced each other. So it's been similar production-wise, but that night they were bad. What's your perception now of this Eagles team, you know, looking forward?
No, I think they're a very tough football team. I think the whole aura about Nick Sirianni when he first got hired was ridiculous to me. It was so dumb. Like, people, even the flower thing, like, people reacting to that, like, it wasn't obvious what he was saying. Like, yeah, I just think the guy's real, and I think he's a good coach. I think he listens to his players. He's not afraid to go and evaluate. Okay, here's what we did. It didn't work. What can we do better? And in that way, I think he reminds me a lot of Frank Reich in terms of always putting his process through this very just a, you know, humility-based approach. And I think he's going to be – that's a very good thing for a coach, in my opinion, to be able to look at your process and continually question it and try to grow from it. And obviously, they changed a ton. They were leading the league in neutral pass rate, which, you know, typically is a pretty good thing. But for them, it hurts. It just wasn't really working, and they needed to get the run game going. So now they flip the script, and they're on this heavy rushing team, but they've still – you've been able to be pretty smart about when they're using the pass, and play sequencing is smart. And I think same thing defensively. You know, I think Gannon he started simple and built it and has gotten more complicated. It's still not the most intense scheme out there, but he's using a little bit more blitzes. He's using a little bit more man coverage. So to me, if you're an Eagles fan, it's the exact growth you'd want to see from your coaching staff. Clearly they are not talent wise on the level that the Bucs are, but schematically, they have improved from where they were early in the season. They've built things. Players have responded. They seem to have bought in. They didn't give up when they got off to that rough start. They got some confidence. I mean, if we're being honest, does it help the fact that they, you know, have played a fairly easy second half of the schedule? Sure, but they were supposed to be one of the bottom feeders too, and they've beaten the bottom feeders. So I still give hats off and credit to them for that. I think they're a very tough football team. They're well coached, and when you can win in the trenches, you've got a chance in a lot of football games. You know, whether it's bad competition or not bad competition, when you can win in both trenches, and the Eagles have very good players in both trenches, you give yourself a chance in any football game. So obviously they're at a disadvantage in some other areas, but I think because they're strong on the O-line and D-line, they'll have a chance to win this football game. I expect a very close football game.
John, we'll end with this. The weather reports for Tampa on Sunday are interesting. Maybe rain, that might end in the morning, but the winds seem like they're still part of this forecast and pretty significant, over 20 miles an hour. If it stays that way, if we get pretty significant winds on Sunday, are the Bucs comfortable throwing the football less and making it a run game? I mean, we know the Eagles are. I mean, I think the Eagles would welcome this being an ugly game. Do you think the Bucs would kind of change their MO? I mean, Tom Brady had the most attempts ever, most completions ever. I mean, they want to throw the football. If throwing becomes difficult, are the Bucs comfortable running the football?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely comfortable running the football, especially more this year. You know, when they've had guys in there, you know, they lost Fournette, and then, you know, the running game kind of took a backseat a little bit with how some teams play them. But they're definitely comfortable running the football more if they need to. You know, weather in Tampa Bay is, you know, we all kind of laugh when people were talking about the weather, you know, 4 or 5 days ago, whatever it was, because it just never, I mean, it just never stays the same. Like, it changes constantly. So, you know, you've already seen the rain, you know, kind of push back, and the wind, you know, and the wind might be a factor. It could be. You know, I've lived here not that long now, but just talking to other people, unless there's like a storm warning type of deal, it's typically not that windy here where you would see it enough to affect a football game. So we'll just see. I mean, this could be an aberration game where, like, it is just this weird random bad weather day in Tampa, which just really doesn't happen that often, especially this time of year. It's just dry season and we'd hardly get any rain at all. So yeah, it would be, I mean, just the fact that it's raining at all in January is a surprise. So it would be a surprise if it's significant enough to affect the game, I think. But yeah, I think if the Bucs need to change things up, that they will. The other part of it that's interesting is, you know, Philadelphia is probably defensively, I think them and Tampa Bay, actually, if you look at the numbers, the average depth of target against the Eagles is 6.4 yards past the line of scrimmage. That's the shallowest average depth of target in the NFL. The Bucs are the second shallowest average depth of target in the NFL, 6.9 yards past the line of scrimmage. In other words, neither of these teams give up big plays, Joe. So, like, this is all – it's going to be a short passing attack. I'm sure both teams are going to do what they want to do, what they normally do, try to prevent the deep ball, try to prevent the big play down the field, keep the ball in front of them, tackle the catch. So if there are conditions, the fact that there is this short passing game kind of available to both teams, probably based on how they've played, you know, this season and how the Bucs have kind of always played under Bowles, if that stuff's available for quarterbacks, it will make it a little bit easier to use the pass game to supplement the run game. Unless, of course, defensive structures change because the weather's that significant that they need to change, then you could see a shift in philosophies there. But I'm not too worried about it right now. We'll just have to get to game day and see. But usually we say if the weather's, you don't like the weather in Tampa, just wait 15, 20 minutes and it'll change. And so that's kind of the expectation we have for Sunday too.
Great stuff. John, really appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy the game on Sunday. Thank you.
Absolutely, Joe. Thanks for having me.
John Ledyard, Pewter Report, NFL Draft, and covers the Bucks there. So he says the weather, that Tampa will be fine running the football, but he did make me think that Tampa Bay is not, you know, that worried about the Eagles' run offense. Like they'll be okay if they get all their guys back. It's funny though; they haven't had all their guys all year. It's like it's the same thing as last year. Then they got hot in the playoffs. It's such a weird thing with Tampa Bay because they didn't look like a Super Bowl team all of last year till the end, and this year feels like the opposite to me. Where I thought in the beginning, like if you had asked me in October or November who's going to go to the Super Bowl of the NFC, I would have said them. And now I'd probably say Green Bay. I wouldn't say them. It's like their seasons have been odd. Their two seasons with Brady.
Yeah, they've been very streaky.
Yeah,
I think from pretty much January through the Super Bowl, through the first 6 weeks of this season, they're the best team in football, bar none.
Right.
And otherwise, they've been good. Like I don't want to sit here and say they've been mediocre or you know trash or anything like that, but they've been a step down. That's for certain.
Yeah, I mean, like you think about last year, if the Bucks had the team they were in the playoffs last year, played a 7 seed, any 7 seed, I think they would have been 10-point favorites, maybe 11-point favorites. But the way they were hitting on all cylinders, with all the guys they had, the talent they had, it's funny because we've been talking about this number all week. Like, boy, it's a tough one. The Eagles are 8.5-point underdogs, but I mean, you would think they could be bigger favorites in this game. I mean, think about the other 7-2 matchup in the playoffs. Right, is that a 13-4 or 12-5 Chiefs team? 12, right?
I believe they have 12.
12-5 Chiefs team against a 9. What was the Steelers' record? Is that a dumb tie in there? 9-7-1.
Yeah, 9-7-1.
And they are closing in on 14-point favorites, 13.5, 14, 13, whatever the number is. I mean, think about how much different it is. The Eagles are a 7 seed. They're 9-8. It's basically the same thing as the Steelers. 7 seed, final team in the playoffs in that conference. They're going up against a 2 seed. They're going up against a team in the Super Bowl last year. It's only 8.5. Like, as much as I think people are like scared off by the line, has anyone thought about why it's not bigger? It's a 7-2 matchup. The other 7-2 matchup, it's supposed to be a 2-touchdown game. It's just, I think the perception of the Bucs has changed a lot over the past couple months. And the Eagles. Let's talk to Kevin and Indy. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Joe, you are spot on. The Eagles are winning this weekend. I am so confident. I've already got my tickets to Green Bay the weekend after that.
So you're going. You're going to go to Green Bay. You're in Indy, so it's obviously it's kind of an easy trip for you.
No, well, no, I'm in Annapolis, not Indianapolis.
Oh, Annapolis. I got engaged in Annapolis.
I've done that a few times.
In Annapolis? Wow, what a town it is. But that's cool, Kevin. Annapolis is a beautiful town.
Yeah, so looking forward to it. The football gods owe us one. I was at that last playoff game where Clowney took out Wentz in the first quarter, and the football gods owe us one. We need to advance.
Well, it was a double whammy too, Kevin, because remember later in the game, Josh McCown came in, and I actually thought Josh could keep them afloat, but then he tore his hamstring, so he was playing her. It was like everything was going against the Eagles that night.
Yeah, tough one. And as far as the X factor, you're going to laugh at me on this one.
What do you got?
Well, he's been a zero on the stat sheet all year, but Brian Kerrigan's going to come out of nowhere. He's never sacked Brady, probably his last season. Nobody on the offensive line is going to, you know, I'm thinking he'll have agent treachery against somebody, one of their newer guys, and he's going to surprise us.
You know what? I hope that happens, though. Kevin, appreciate your phone call. Enjoy your night in Annapolis, Maryland, different than
Indiana. You can blame Jack Fritz for that.
Yeah, different than Indianapolis, Indiana. Annapolis.
It used to say Kevin in Annapolis, and then an afternoon show producer changed it to Indy.
Yeah, that seems like an error on his part. How about that, though? He has his tickets for Green Bay next weekend. Now, that's bold.
Well, I mean, what more do we expect from a guy who's been engaged multiple times?
I mean, he goes bold. He goes big.
Go
home.
Big or go home.
I mean, listen, he's going to Green Bay next weekend. I mean, do we have to rev up the bus? Like, do we have to? I mean, we have the bus, right? We're driving down after the show tonight to Tampa Bay. Now, WIP, for some reason, did not spring for us to go down to Tampa this week. Not, I'm still not happy about it.
Yeah, I was talking to Elliot today because he filled in on the afternoon show. He wasn't thrilled about the prospect of going to Green Bay in the middle of January.
Not thrilled.
I think we should take his spot.
Oh, with the fans of Philly?
I don't know how he gets there, but he was like, "Oh, I have to spend a weekend in Green Bay in January. No thanks."
I think he ends up with the group. Like, he goes to the event with the fans of Philly. So, I mean, if they need someone to hang out with, we could go and hang out and talk football.
I think we're a lot more interesting than him too.
Well, here's what I think. The playoff, all I'm asking is that WIP sends us to Green Bay next week. Is, like, that a lot to ask?
How did John Madden get a bus to drive him cross country like every week for 20 years, and we can't get one once?
For a playoff trip.
For one playoff trip.
Listen, I think it's only right. I mean, I didn't hear every ounce of every show this week. I don't know how many of our hosts have picked the Eagles outright to win this game. Do we know of any others?
No. I'm sure the camera probably did.
Yeah, he kind of probably backed his way into it at the end of the show. I could see that. But I mean, I think anyone that picked the Eagles outright at WIP this week should be on a playoff bus or a plane or a train or whatever they want to send us in to Green Bay next weekend. When do you think that game would be played? I think it's Green Bay Saturday night.
That could be cool. Because it always feels like it snows in Green Bay too. So, like, Saturday night game with the snow kind of swirling around.
Yeah, like Saturday, 8 p.m., Eagles-Packers.
Remember when the Giants went to Green Bay the year they won the first Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah,
and Tom Coughlin turned, like, bright red. He was so cold.
Yeah, I remember, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but because I was in college at the time, I remember being really cold around here then, too. It was just cold everywhere.
Well, that's what happens in the winter.
I know, but, I mean, it was, like, oddly cold, like, more cold than normal here.
Like 15 or 20 degrees.
Right. And there it was like below zero, and Tom Coughlin's face, like, it was freezing off. It was so red and shiny. I don't know if I'd be able to play in that kind of weather. It seems too cold.
Yeah, I guess a lot of it probably has to do with wind. But, like, if I go outside and it's 15 degrees, like, I have a winter coat on, I have a hat on, I have a scarf, like, we bundle up.
You're prepared, yeah.
They're walking out there in, like, just normal football clothes.
Well, you see Devontae Smith last week before the game? It was cold last Saturday night. He was in just a shorts and t-shirt warming up.
Oh, he's a football guy.
Yeah, I mean, the cold doesn't bother him. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard your X Factor for this game, other than, of course, Jalen Hurts. Who is it for you? 215-592-9494. And I believe the Eagles are going to win this game. Not hope. I believe. Where do you fall on that scale? When we get back, we got to play for you. When was the last time Jalen Hurts played a game in Raymond James Stadium? It was about, what are we talking about, four or five years ago? I believe it was 5 years ago. 5 years ago this week, Jalen Hurts played his last game at Raymond James Stadium. We'll tell you about it coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on this Football Friday night, but not just any Football Friday. I mean, this is an Eagles playoff Football Friday night. Coming up at 9 o'clock, SteveFezzikPregame.com. I can't wait to hear what side of this game Steve will be on, Eagles or the Bucks. We'll talk to Steve coming up in about a half hour. NFL picks, guess the takes, and our favorite FanDuel Sportsbook props for the Eagles-Bucks game coming your way about an hour from now, though. Until then, we chat 215-592-9494. Some interesting answers pouring in at WIP Evenings on who is the X factor in this game, other, of course, than Jalen Hurts. And we can't get away from Jalen Hurts being the most important player. He's the quarterback of the Eagles. His first career playoff game. I have no worry, no fear that he's not going to perform at the level he's shown us he can. I'd be very surprised if he goes out there and seems overwhelmed by the moment. He has been playing in these kind of games for a very long time. In fact, it's been 5 years since Jalen Hurts last played at Raymond James Stadium, a game in which he was a freshman in Alabama, led Alabama to the national title game. On the other side was Deshaun Watson, who was about to leave to go to the NFL. And Jalen Hurts, with about 2 minutes to go, did this to give Alabama a lead in the national championship game.
Stewart shows that he's still got the arm to pick up 24 yards. Hurts now took a peek downfield and now just barrels forward, still running, in the clear, and scores!
Jalen Hurts left the field with the lead that night. Unfortunately for him and Alabama and Nick Saban, Deshaun Watson stepped on the field, and I don't think he ever left. I think he threw a game-winning touchdown pass at the buzzer to win with Clemson against Alabama. That's pretty amazing. The last time he's played in the stadium was that. Do you think we get a big, long touchdown run out of Jalen Hurts?
He looks a lot different than he did as an 18-year-old kid.
Well, he's aged.
I'm sure we all do, but...
Yeah. It's interesting. He's more of like a power runner there. Like, he runs through people.
I don't know what his listed weight was, but he looks stronger. Like he looks a lot skinnier now than he was back then.
Yeah, I would guess he's probably just a different kind of muscle on him now. Like, then he was just a bigger... But yeah, he looks bigger, heavier, like a running back.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like a shorter... I mean, you hit it right on the head. He looks like a running back. He looks like he should have been lining up 7 yards deep.
And it's different now, and I wonder if this is now just a what he's been taught as the quarterback at this level. You can't take hits. He wasn't trying to get around hits in that clip. Like, that touchdown run to put Alabama up in that game, he runs through defensive backs. Now he doesn't do that as much. He'll juke guys out of their shoes, or he'll kind of spin around. He'll go out of bounds. He'll slide. I mean, he's doing what quarterbacks should do in the NFL so they have longevity, but he didn't used to do that. He used to lower his shoulder and just, like, plow through people.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, if you're excited about his future, and we talked a little bit earlier this week about the fact that, you know, his ankle has kind of lingered this long, is worrisome. And the fact that in a year where he hasn't taken a lot of hits, he still broke down a little bit. I mean, him being able to avoid contact, him understanding, even with the huge presence he has in the run game, that he can't necessarily take those big hits, I think it's going to be huge. If he turns out to be the answer for the Eagles moving forward, him staying healthy and him not taking those hits is big, because you look at guys like someone like Cam Newton, who by the age of 29 was just completely cooked because he had shoulder issues from lowering his body into, you know, defensive backs and running people over. Jalen Hurts has been pretty smart about that. I think that's a huge development for him, and I think that's a huge step for the Eagles if they want to commit to him moving forward.
Yeah, he's been smart about it. 215-592-9494. All right, a minute here. Tucker, can you bring up the Kyle Brandt clip? Kyle Brandt at Good Morning Football this morning was talking about Jalen Hurts. It's interesting. When I walked in tonight, Elliot was walking out. Elliot was in for Ike today. And Elliot walked out, and he asked what I was going to talk about tonight and what the show kind of theme was. And I mentioned him, and he said something to me that it's kind of interesting that as a station this week, expectations for Jalen Hurts really haven't been talked about. And I mentioned that I'm not worried about Jalen Hurts. I think he will play like he normally does. I'd be surprised if Jalen Hurts goes out there and lays an egg on Sunday and turns the ball over three times. I don't think he's going to do that. I think Jalen Hurts will take care of the football. I think he'll pick his spots to run. I think he'll be very effective with his legs. He'll make a couple really nice passes. You know, he'll move the chains on third down. That's what he's done really for the better part of the second half of the season. I have trust in Jalen Hurts. But you know what's interesting? We haven't talked much about the idea of, could Jalen Hurts do something bigger in this game? Can he elevate him? Can he elevate the Eagles? And can he play, you know, more than we expect out of him? I was watching Good Morning Football this morning, and I heard Kyle Brandt, who always seems to be the Eagles hype man when these playoff runs roll around. He said this about Jalen Hurts and really what the Eagles need to win. Now, he may have used a little hyperbole with the statistics he threw out, but I thought his premise was interesting, that this game isn't about the offensive line, that the Eagles aren't going to win just if they run the football. They need Jalen Hurts to be special on Sunday. Here's what Kyle Brandt said this morning about the Eagles quarterback.
First thing we need to talk about after that game is Jalen Hurts. That Jalen Hurts being the story of the weekend. And when the shows start, Dan Patrick and Colin Cowherd and McAfee and Rome and Eisen, that's going to have to be the takeaway. I think he needs to be a star. And I know the conventional thinking is they're going to run the ball and play defense. I don't know. Not against Brady at home. And when I say star, I mean a 300 passing, 100 rushing performance in which he is the conversation piece in a weekend consisting of Mahomes and Burrow et al. I think it is there for the taking. I think we're getting seduced by a lot of the Brady and Buck lore that is not necessarily tangible. And if you're sitting here saying, oh, come on, Brady's going to lose at home in the wild card round, it's happened before. He's lost to the Ravens. He's lost to the Titans, teams that run the ball and have fearless quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts needs to enter the conversation, and Philadelphia needs to, on Monday morning, if not Sunday night, go to NFLShop.com and buy number one green jerseys. And they're like, this is our guy. Lock him up, extend him, all that stuff. I think if he plays average, I think that they lose. I think if he plays really well, I think that they lose. I think if he's sensational, I think they win.
So a couple things. One, did he go over a little bit overboard with the 300 yards passing, 100 yards rushing? I think so. But it's interesting that he brought that up that way because that really hasn't been the conversation this week. Has anyone around here said Jalen Hurts needs to be great on Sunday? I haven't heard that. I mean, mostly I've heard Jalen can't turn the football over. They can't get off to a slow start. He has to play smart. I mean, all these things that for the most part he's done for 2 months. Really, outside the Giants game and what game was it Sirianni screamed at him? Washington, when they were down? I think he screamed at him on the sidelines of the Washington game when he fumbled. Outside of those two games, he's done well, and he's done fine. Like, he hasn't had bad games. He hasn't turned the football over multiple times. He's been what they asked him to be and progressed. But we also haven't said, as a fan base, the Eagles haven't asked him to be great very often. The Washington game, this past game that he actually played, I thought he was very good. The Washington game they played here on that Tuesday night, I thought he was dynamic throwing the football. His best first half of the season was obviously that game in Denver where they put a lot on his shoulders and he handled it well. But those are really the only three times. Other than that, he's there, right? He does his thing. He manages the game. He runs. But he's not asked, they're not asking him to put the team on his shoulders. That'd be fascinating on Sunday if maybe not the whole game. They're not going to come out and throw it 40 times. But I think it'd be fun to see if they're down a score late and they say, Jalen, we need you right now. Like, we need your arm. We need you to throw us back in this game. Kind of like the Chargers ending. Remember, I thought the fourth quarter of the Chargers game, he really impressed me. They lost, but they needed him to make a drive down 7, and he tied the game. It'd be interesting if we get that again Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's time to sort of take the training wheels off. I think you mentioned it since that Raiders game, since the early season struggles. They've done everything they can to help Jalen Hurts. They only give him advantageous looks in the passing game. They lean heavily on the run game because of that. They've been the number one offense on third down in the last 8 weeks, strictly because they're sitting there at like third and three and third and four
right
half the time, and he's able to convert. He has the most third down conversions via the run this season. But you also talk about it, and you look at all these wins they had. How many big winning plays has he had? How many huge efforts and how many games do you look at? And, this is something that I think we should consider. Is how many games have they won this year because of Jalen Hurts, especially recently? How many performances has he had in a winning performance that you look at and go, well, if Gardner Mitchell was playing today, I don't think we win. And I know their skill set's differently, and you can look at his 69 rushing yards against New Orleans and say maybe they don't put up 40 if Mitchell was playing, but they win a lot with Jalen Hurts. I don't know if they've won because of Jalen Hurts yet.
Yeah, I don't think they win this last Washington game with Minshew, the 20-16 game where Hurts made the 3rd-and-14 play to Ward, and he ran and he had that pitch to Boston Scott. I think they probably lose that game because that was a very ugly kind of closed game. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, could Gardner Minshew have beat the Giants the day Jake Fromm was here? Of course he could have. I mean, that's basically like playing the Jets. So yeah, I mean, I think that's. It's valid they haven't asked him to do that. It's really since the Charger game, first half of the Bronco game. What's your expectation? What's our expectation for Jalen Hurts on Sunday? Like when you close your eyes and think about this game, his over-under for his passing yards prop is 194.5. Now, a lot of that is based on game script. Basically the prop thinks the Eagles are going to run the football and not ask Jalen Hurts to throw because the Eagles don't. That's what they want to do. But when I think of the game he's going to have on Sunday, I think he needs to throw for more than that for them to win. I mean, I'd be surprised if they can really line up and run for 200 yards in the Bucs. I think they will run effectively. I also think the Bucs will kind of have some resistance. Like they will. There's got to be enough fortitude there to not get run over at home in a playoff game. So there are going to be plays where Jalen Hurts is going to have to make with his arm in this game. I think he'll do it. I don't think it's unreasonable to ask Jalen Hurts to throw for 200 yards and run for 50. I don't think, like, I'm not asking for 200, but or 300 like Kyle Brandt just did, but 200 yards passing, 50 yards rushing, somewhere close to the upper 200s in yards. Really, like, the combination doesn't matter. Like, whatever. He gets 75 rushing yards and 175 passing. He's got to be in the over 250 total yards on Sunday for them to win. That's the way I view it.
Yeah, because I also think you look at who else is on this offense. I don't know who else you can necessarily lean on to beat a team like this, right? You can sit and play with Gardner Minshew and Jordan Howard when you're playing the Giants or the Jets or even Washington, right? Like, those teams aren't necessarily teams where you need elite talent. And I don't think the Bucs are in a category where you're going to need, you know, a couple turnovers and a couple wacky things to go your way in order to put yourself in a position to win. But at the same point, I mean, can we stop giving the ball to Jalen Reagor like five times a game just because?
Oh, you know what? I can't. You know what has to be a rule on Sunday? The Eagles are disqualified from this game if they do some sort of jet sweep to Jalen
Reagor. Jet sweep to Jalen Reagor for -2 yards on first down?
It's the most predictable thing. It drives me crazy. Why do they do that? Doesn't it feel like they have to get him a touch? They have to get him involved, and they don't. That's the most, I guess, the simplest way to do it. Like, all right,
you can't catch you. I mean, like, he does have decent elusiveness with the ball in his hands,
right?
Right, like, he's not a complete stiff out there. I do think there is some talent. You look at some of his longest plays. Remember, he had that real long catch and run last year on that kind of short dig route. Like, right. He has made big plays with the ball in his hands. He had a decent kickoff return a couple weeks ago. But, I mean, like, it's just so sad that you can't throw him the ball, right? Like, those kind of skills are great when you're catching the ball 10, 15, 20 yards downfield and there's one or two defensive backs separating you from the end zone when all you can do is hand the guy the ball because he can't catch it. It's a waste of time. It really is. And that's something that the Eagles, another thing, and I don't want to look past this week, but they really have to rebuild their entire wide receiver core next year. Outside of Devontae Smith, I don't know if any of these guys are necessarily capable of contributing on an every down basis in the NFL.
Yeah, every down would probably disqualify Quez. I think Quez is back and has earned a spot on the team next year. Now, you're a much better roster if Quez Watkins is your third or fourth option than for a lot of this year being the number two. I mean, basically, he's been the number two wide receiver. I don't think Quez Watkins is a true number two wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, just he disappears for long stretches of the game. Could he be their three or four next year? Yeah, but they're going to need a veteran wide receiver. I'll tell you what, as we go through the X factors for this game, and people have thrown a lot at us at WIP Evenings, one name that keeps coming up, and I agree with it, and I understand why, is Dallas Goedert. I mean, Dallas Goedert really, really was, has emerged here as becoming the number one option. I mean, Devontae Smith is the number one wide receiver, but it feels like when they need, like, they have a need to make a play. I mean, they need to make a third down. It's Dallas Goedert. Third and six, it's Dallas Goedert. I feel like Goddard's going to have a big game on Sunday. I'm feeling good about Goedert on Sunday against Tampa Bay's defense. Like, Goedert feels to me like, I think it's a combination of the routes he runs, the athleticism he has, and the big frame he has. Like, I feel like Jalen Hurts is comfortable throwing him the football. And I mean, I would be too. I mean, he's gigantic. I'm feeling good about Goedert as an X factor along with Slay. Paul is in Northeast Philadelphia. Paul is on WIP with us. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Paul. What are you thinking?
I don't say it. I think the best player that ever played this game, if we're going to play an umbrella defense, I'm not saying it might take him longer to do what he has to do, but he's going to do it and pull away, and it's going to be comfortable if we don't change it up. We're going to have to do something different, mainly pressure up the middle where he steps up. That has to be, because if not, I just don't see us scoring I don't see us running the ball effectively against them with everybody they just got back.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, Paul, is I wouldn't lose sleep over all the guys they're getting back. I need to see how many snaps they could play, how effective they are. Just because a player comes back off of IR doesn't mean that player is, you know, himself. So I know,
but they might have the best nose tackle in the game.
Yeah, but you know, when teams run to left and right, like they don't run up the middle, they give up the most yards per carry in the NFL. The Eagles, I have no doubt the Eagles are going to run the football well.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If this game doesn't go well for our quarterback, are we in the market for a quarterback, or are we in the market for a free agent quarterback?
I'd be very surprised if they were in the market for a free agent quarterback. I mean, I don't even know what free agent quarterback there'd be out there that would be interesting.
Aaron Rodgers.
He's not a free agent.
At the end of this year, he's a free agent.
He's not a free agent. No, he has a contract for next year.
Okay, I could be wrong. I thought his contract ended this year.
No, he has a contract for next season. Now he could ask for a trade, and
How about the guy from Seattle?
Not a free agent.
Also looking to get out. That's what I'm saying.
Sure, but
are we in the market? If he comes out and just lays an egg and it's horrible,
do you think they should be? Because I don't.
I wouldn't unless he just can't throw the ball. You know, I don't see him as a thrower over 20 yards. I just don't see him as a thrower.
Yeah, but like
the ball's effective and all, but you can't throw the ball over 20 yards, and your percentage ratio is 31%. So you're not an NFL quarterback.
What was the percentage?
31%.
But of what?
31% of passes over 20 yards is 31% completion ratio.
He's 31% over 20 yards. All right, well, that's interesting. I feel like that number seems low. I mean, how many times have they actually even thrown the ball over 20 yards?
I just heard it this morning on Get Up, so it's the reason why I'm saying it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not worried about his arm. His arm's fine. He's adequate enough to win the NFL. My thing is this.
I hope he is, because I would use all three first-round draft picks on defensive players.
Well, that's the point. You led me to my point. There are no free agent quarterbacks I want. So the only guys and you brought up some big names, obviously, through trades that are very interesting. These are great quarterbacks. I don't see how it makes sense for the Eagles to swap out two or three first-round picks to upgrade off of Jalen Hurts. That doesn't make sense to me.
It depends on what one you're getting. Well, first of all, you're not getting Rodgers without at least two ones. And you're not going to get the kid from Seattle without two ones.
Right, but it's also more than that. It's three number ones, Paul, and you're giving away $35 million away in cap room, because those guys cost $35, $40 million a year more than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
I mean, quarterback in this league is, if you don't have a quarterback, you have nothing in this league, right?
Yeah, well, for sure. You don't have a quarterback you can win with. And, Paul, we appreciate the call. I mean, I saw David Murphy had a column in the Inquirer today. It's kind of similar to what Paul was just bringing up, like what's on the line here for Jalen Hurts. You know what I look at this game like, and a potential playoff run. This feels like extra credit, and an exclamation point on his season, rather than his season. This doesn't feel. Would you equate this more to his final exam, or would you equate it more to extra credit, and an exclamation point? I don't consider it the final exam in that it could take his, whatever you grade him for the season, let's say you grade him a B minus, just kind of throwing something out there, and he has a D game on Sunday, or he struggles in his first playoff game, I don't think I would take him then down to a C minus or a D for his season. I can't weigh it that much for his future.
No, but I do think whatever he does on Sunday will significantly impact how we view him heading into the offseason.
Totally.
Right, I think no matter what happens, whatever he does, if he throws three touchdowns and rushes for 100 yards, and even if they lose, right, if it's a moral victory in favor of Jalen Hurts, I think people would be excited moving forward. And they say, we found our guy, this is it, we're good. If he struggles, if he completes, you know, 51% of his passes and looks overmatched, and you know, Todd Bowles' defense just bewilders him, and he looks like a guy who isn't ready to play in the NFL, I think we're going to spend the whole offseason questioning him. I don't think it's necessarily fair to think about replacing him next year. I mean, his contract, you aren't even eligible to extend him until after next year, which kind of gives you a free buffer into 2023. But I think it would certainly be fair to start thinking about, well, what do we do moving forward? I mean, this year's free agent class is absolute garbage right now.
It's brutal. It's like Teddy Bridgewater, right?
Teddy Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Mitchell Trubisky. Like, those are the guys you'd be picking from.
Yeah, none of those guys are upgrades over Jalen Hurts right now. Two things off of what Tucker just said. One, perception becomes reality. I think about Nick Foles. Nick Foles made a positive impression in this town 2013, and he left the field with the lead in a playoff game. We felt good about Nick, trusted Nick Foles. I know he wasn't a superstar, but people had generally a good sense of Nick Foles, feeling on Nick Foles heading into 2014. But the other side, I think it's interesting. Our perception isn't the front office perception. And here's what I mean. Because what Tucker just said is, if he has a big game, we'll feel good about him going into the offseason. I go back to Tim Tebow. Remember his first playoff game? He threw for 300 yards, including a game-winning touchdown in overtime to Demaryius Thomas. And beat the Pittsburgh.
R.I.P.
Yes, he just passed away. And beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger. You know who didn't care that much? The Broncos. Because their evaluation of him was, it's not going to work, even though he played well in that game. So I find it hard to believe that this game on Sunday, you know, really really moves the needle for the Eagles. What they think, what Sirianni thinks, what Howie thinks, what Lurie thinks. I think they've got a bank of what they think of him before Sunday. It's going to change our minds, that's for sure. That's what will change. I don't think it changed the Eagles' mind either way that much.
Yeah, I mean, one other thing that the caller brought up about his throwing the ball deep, because I just pulled up the numbers, so I was curious about that. So he does rank 19th in the NFL in completion percentage on deep passes, about 38%. But he's tied with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and Derek Carr, and he's ahead of Lamar Jackson and you know, Taylor Heineke, Ben Roethlisberger, doesn't matter. But, I mean, he's pretty much middle of the pack. Like, no quarterback in the NFL completes 50%. Of their downfield passes. Kyler Murray's number one at 48, and Justin Herbert and Davis Mills are right behind him. But, I mean, he throws 5 interceptions, which I think is, you know, top 10 in those kind of passes. But he's been fine throwing the ball down the field. It's the short passes that kill him. It's those precise passes where it's 3 steps and getting the ball out quick. I think that's the bigger issue right now.
It's funny. I think there's a misconception between of what deep passing is in the NFL. People always call in about Hurts, like, he can't make that 50-yard pass down the field like Justin Herbert. How often does that pass happen? Like, in an NFL game, week to week, how often does a quarterback, even the great ones, complete a pass that travels 50 yards in the air, 40 yards in the air? I mean, not often. We're talking about once a game. Maybe Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, you know, Mahomes, Rodgers do this once or twice a game. That's it. And those are the best guys at doing that. I'd say for the most quarterbacks, it's 0, it's 1. I don't know. So like this weakness that it's really, how often does it happen anyway? And the second part is, I think there's a misconception too of how inefficient it is to throw the ball deep. Like 48 is the top with Kyler Murray. It's almost like 3-pointers in the NBA before guys got good at it. Like, all right, you hit it at 38%, but how many do you shoot? I mean, they don't do this that often.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at just his percentage, and Jalen Hurts is kind of at a disadvantage because he doesn't throw the ball as much as other quarterbacks,
right.
But he attempts 14% of his passes down the field. That's 4th in the NFL. Like, he's ahead of people like Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, who I think is one of the best deep ball passers in the NFL right now, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, who everyone thought, like, he's going to unlock the downfield passing for the Rams this year. He's 18th in that category right now. Like, Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball downfield as much as anybody right now.
Yeah, average depth of target. He's been near the top of the league all year. I think he's top 10.
It's kind of funny if you look game by game at his average depth of target. Week one, I think he was like 5.6 yards down the field, which obviously
short
wasn't sustainable. The next week, he was over 16.5. It took a while for them to kind of dial in what they wanted to do with him.
Yeah, and I also think that they want to be multiple. They want to be able to do different things and not just be, we're a short passing team, not just we're a deep passing team. They do different things on Sunday. I mean, I think the defense for the Bucs will dictate some of this. They're not going to take shots if it's not there. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard. We'll come back. Your phone calls, Steve Fezzik, pregame.com. Which side is he on? The Eagles plus the points, or will he lay it with Tampa Bay? We'll talk to Steve coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.